if you went grocery shopping over the weekend, what did you find?
I found most of what I was looking for. Sherry, you still were still running into some shortages, right?
Yeah. I finally found a loaf of bread.
Okay.
You know, I was buying stuff for my husband. He likes those English muffins. They finally came in.
Okay.
I was there as they were stocking the shelf. I went, oh my.
You know, I told Elizabeth, I don't know if we're going to find, you know, we need eggs, but I don't know if we'll find eggs. We did.
Oh, yeah, you can find eggs.
We found eggs.
Milk was, you know, the milk products were what was in short supply there, but it's coming in.
That seems to be coming in. Yeah. Meat was also kind of in short supply. It's still kind of dicey on some cuts. You know, sometimes you see a bunch and sometimes you don't. You know, it's kind of like
let's just say there's a lot of ripe avocados. You can't buy hard ones.
Well, you know what? It may be different where you are. We're finding
buy
all over.
Buy them, you know.
One of the things that we found during this, you know, again, we found it during COVID when the panic first set in over COVID-19, and now we found it when we had our, you know, big statewide winter storm, that the supply chain can be easily disrupted sometimes. Here to talk about with us is David Anderson, PhD, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service. He's also an economist at Bryan College Station. So, Doc, what do you make of you know, where we're at with the supply issues? Is our supply chain really that easily interrupted? I guess it is when you truck everything, right?
Well, yeah, I think it is. So, you know, in a way, we might think of how we get all this food from where it's produced to where it's processed to get it to the stores. Kind of a miracle, really. Particularly as fast as it happens, and it happens so routinely that we don't ever notice till we have a big storm like this or we have some big crisis like this. But, you know, we get the stuff to the store. But if you think about it, going through the storm that we all faced, you know, we stock up, we buy everything, and all the folks working at the store and driving the trucks are facing the same problems we are with ice, and they can't get the trucks moving, they can't get the stuff to the stores to restock as invisibly as it normally happens.
Let's talk seriously, though, about the Texas economy. I mean, what happened to our citrus crop in the valley? I mean, are we now going to have to rely? I mean, I love Texas grapefruit. Are we going to have it? Are we going to have to truck it all in from Florida? What about the grapes that are in North Texas and the grapevines and the whole wine industry? What are we looking at for the state of Texas?
Well, it's pretty clear that a freeze like this has certainly caused some losses, whether we're talking citrus all the way down in the valley to, as you mentioned, grapes, to vegetables in other areas. And so there certainly are losses. You know, I think you mentioned grapefruits, our Texas grapefruits that so many of us like. You know, there's likely some pretty heavy damage there. And still to be assessed, I think, are, you know, what we lost this year out of, you know, this year's crop, but the buds on the fruit trees and production for next year, and even tree losses that can take some years to recover production from. So I think that's some of those local crops that a lot of us look to are ones that had some damages, and we're going to see some tight supplies of those.
Are we able to put a price tag on this storm yet, what it's actually cost the state of Texas, or is it too early to say?
It's a little too early to say. There's a whole group of us still working on putting all that together for our various government representatives so they can get a handle on what the storm is. I'm a livestock meat economist by trade, and we're working on putting all that together.
Okay.
Yeah, you wonder. We heard about chicks freezing, eggs, milk cows dumping milk. I mean, people don't realize just how big an agricultural state this is.
Well, we really are, and we're the largest cattle-producing state. We're a very large milk-producing state, and chickens as well. On the livestock side, we produce a large amount of meat and milk and eggs and everything else. So we certainly are a pretty large agricultural state.
All right, sir. Thank you for your time this morning. Appreciate it. That's David Anderson. He's with Texas A&M's AgriLife Extension Service.